And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, it's wonderful to have you on with us again.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you and privilege.
We've approached the final Saturday in December, and New Year's is just around the corner. Christmas is past. People are starting to think about New Year's resolutions and losing that weight that you wanted to lose a year or two ago. That's me. Opportunities. Some people maybe are starting a new job, and hopefully we've got some good policies coming up at the national level that will bless our families rather than cursing them. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and we seek your thoughts today regarding the new year ahead and maybe advice or pastoral counsel that you would have for us and our nation as well.
I've been thinking about calendars. We're under the Gregorian calendar, and of course it replaced a somewhat similar calendar, the Julian calendar. The Gregorian calendar is very close to the solar year, very close, a little closer than the Julian calendar. But regardless of what calendar you may be under, and some religious traditions and cultures are still under a lunar calendar, with Judaism and Islam are the most famous. But regardless of the calendar that you go by, there are a couple things that I've been thinking about. The Julian calendar, of course, is based on the life of Christ. It's traditionally been B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after the Lord, of course. And it's a time for a new beginning. It's a difference in one sense, you might say, between the death of Christ on the cross and the resurrection. It's a huge change, and it's an opportunity, I think, for us to let those things that we ought to let go of and leave them behind, things which are not profitable, and to look forward to a new year with all of its dynamism and possibilities. And the reason I can say that is because of God's forgiveness, number one. He does forgive us of our sins and mistakes, and he also offers us hope. And furthermore, the calendar turns, and it's a good time to reflect upon that forgiveness that we have in Christ. And it's also a good time to reflect upon the fact that God's providence is at work in our lives. Someone asked me too long ago, I've been asked this several times through my ministry, do you have any regrets of the past? And I would say, yes, I have some regrets. Well, what would you change if you could go back? And I said, nothing. It's all in God's providence. And I look forward to the prospects of a new year. The reason I say nothing is because all of that makes you, whatever doubts you've had and fears and mistakes you've made, that goes into your character. And the new year offers opportunity to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and to turn the page. And I kind of look forward to new year. I do make New Year's resolutions, by the way, not in the sense I'm a Presbyterian of the Westminster Confession, and it has a very stout section there on vows. I don't know whether, Dan, you've ever read that section, but it's pretty stout.
Yeah.
I don't make resolutions as a vow. I make them as an intention, you know, to do a little better.
Right.
Because I don't want to use God's name in vain over something like that. But I do have good intentions. You mentioned losing weight. How many people plan, surely, to number one, lose weight, and number two, to get more exercise in the coming year? That probably accounts for most of the resolutions that people will make.
Yeah, I think so. I often think, oh, I've got to do more exercise. And I often fall flat on my face, but I'm at the stage in life where I really need to tend to that, because if you allow yourself too much sedentary time. It's really, really bad for you, especially as you age. You mentioned I missed the distinction between the Gregorian and the Julian calendar.
Well, they're both based on the solar year, not the lunar year.
Ah, yeah.
But the difference is that the Julian calendar had a different length of day. I think it was a little shorter.
Hmm.
And therefore, you had to make up more time in leap years and things. And the Gregorian calendar was a little more accurate with the solar day, and therefore it's more useful.
Okay.
And we only have a leap year, every so often, and that's when in February you get February 29th and so
forth.
That's the difference. Pope Gregory the 13th, I think it was, the same pope that was reigning during the Reformation, if I'm correct on that. I have to check my memory. But he had the calendar changed, and it's an update.
Yeah.
One little fact, though, is that Western Christians, Catholics and Protestants, use the Gregorian calendar, and for religious services and year, the Greek Orthodox and Oriental churches use the Julian calendar, and that's why Christmas is different and Easter is different, things like that, between the traditions.
Ah, that's helpful. Now I finally get it. Yeah, thanks for that. Well, we're looking forward to the new year, and I like your optimism, Pastor Vance. And no matter how hard the previous year was, and maybe disappointments in ourselves and others, there's no use holding on to that disappointment or failure as we move forward. I like it. I think we ought to trust God's providence and know that He's at work in our lives, and also remind ourselves that He has forgiven us, and there's a lot of hope in that. Now, specifically, any pieces of advice for listeners today as we look forward to this new year?
Well, of course, I operate, and I hope every Christian does, operates in the context of grace and forgiveness and renewal.
Mm.
Let me just simply say that the grace of God enables us not only to forgive, but to leave things behind. Didn't Jesus say on one occasion when his disciples had to do this or that and couldn't follow him, he said, "Let the dead bury the dead."
Yeah.
There are things that we should leave behind us and leave it alone and move forward. You know, resentments and things like that can rule your life. So I would say to people that the changing of the calendar is a reminder that we got to let some things go. We got to remember some things. Now, memory is a wonderful thing. There are great things to remember. Remember the faith. Remember who you are. We have a longing for that. And you can see that in the number of people who go and have their DNA checked with Ancestry or 23andMe or one of these other groups. They want to know where they come from and what they're about, and that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But there are many things that we've got to let go, resentments, those negative things which pull us back and undermine what we can be in Christ. But the great thing is, of course, is that we can turn the page by the grace of God and look forward. Yes, I'm optimistic. There are lots of things going on. The drones are unsettling, all of that news and stuff that we've had in New Jersey. And I think even around Stewart Airport, we've had some activity. And I guess in a few other places in Ohio around Dayton Airport. These are all military things. I don't understand what's going on. We'll learn more and more as time goes on. We've had a lot of theories and a lot of dissimulation in some sense from some of the government speakers. What they say is so inconsistent. We do have a threatening world out there. We should not be naive. China is always building its military, and it has armies of people who are trying to hack into our systems and information and so forth. Russia is is unpredictable in many ways. It's a dangerous world. But my, what we need to remember is that God is in charge, and I do trust his providence. I've said before that I don't think we preach enough on the doctrine of providence. It had a bigger place in the minds of former generations. Look at Washington or Lincoln, some of these huge major figures, and they used the language of providence.
They did.
And I think we got to get back to understanding that God's in charge and not one of the world's tyrants and so forth. And I am more optimistic due to the fact that I see a turn toward good things, back
yes.
to good things, if you will.
Yes.
And I'm hopeful for the administration coming up that we will see a real sea change in some areas, more opportunities for work for a lot of people, maybe a little more stable prices and things like that. But that's kind of small potatoes in one sense for the Christian, in the sense that we pray for God's blessings. One of the things that I hope to see a huge change in, and it may come in some sense through a new regime, that we take more seriously some of these persecutions around the world of
Amen.
Christians. It's unbelievably something that we just let go on and so forth, and we've got to pray that God will bless. But I am optimistic. And it's not just optimism. It's more than that. It's hopefulness, a true biblical hopefulness.
Yes, yes, for sure. Today we're talking with Dr. John Vance, and you mentioned a little catchphrase almost, grace, forgiveness, renewal. We often focus on the grace and forgiveness, and it's extremely important, and it's wonderful to know God's forgiveness. I also like how that you've added renewal. It covers what God is doing in this world. You know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth. I think that has to do with this renewal.
Yes, yes. Christ is the King of the kingdom, and where Christ is, there is his kingdom.
Yeah.
And, of course, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's present with us. The kingdom
Amen.
Is here.
Amen.
In one sense, we're all doing kingdom work as Christians. We represent the King, whether in our church or in our politics. That is, there are many people who seek office for really good reasons to serve the Lord in a way to benefit the country. So
yes,
but I'm primarily a person of the church. Of course, I was a pastor for 40 years and do help mm-hmm. out in some little local churches here. But I'm very optimistic that about what can be done. And one encouraging sign, I think you probably know this, if you keep up with everything, there tends to be a turning back to a more conservative way of looking at things among some of the very young people.
Yes, there is.
They're yearning for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of little breakouts here and there in college and other places where
yes.
Students are rejecting some of the left-wing idiocy that we find in our society.
Yeah, yeah. I think the bottom line, from a simple-minded point of view, is that it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You mentioned something that really caught my attention, too, regarding the kingdom. I know we're past Christmas, but a couple weeks ago in church, we were singing from the Trinity hymnal, and the song was Comfort, Comfort Ye My People. And I wrote this down because I was so impressed with it. The author was Johannes Olearius, 1671, an older man. And the quote is, "For the herald's voice is crying in the desert far and near, bidding all men to repentance, since the kingdom now is here." So he got it way back there in the 1600s, Pastor Vance. It was
yes,
the same
yes.
theme, and I was just so impressed with that when I read that. I had to write the words down here in my bulletin that I brought home.
Well, he's probably referring to John the Baptist there as the voice.
Yes.
But he's also the fact that he's referring then when the kingdom is near, Jesus is the King of the kingdom. And
yeah.
By his spirit, he's with the kingdom is here. St. Augustine talked about two kingdoms present that the Christian lives in.
Right.
And there is the kingdom of the earth, our political realm and so forth and everything. We have associations with all people, regardless sure. of whether they're Christians or not. But there's another kingdom, the kingdom of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that kingdom is formed by love for Christ, not love for self.
That's right.
And that kingdom is here because he is here.
Anyway, that hymn kind of caught my attention. Comfort, comfort
oh,
ye my people.
Hymn.
I guess you must be familiar with it.
I don't know it. I'll have to look at it.
Yeah. Page 197, Trinity Hymnal. Well, today we're talking with Pastor John Vance, our dear friend, also a board member here at Redeemer. When Redeemer was first formed, John Vance was there at the very beginning, and his influence actually affected the formation of Redeemer Broadcasting, and we will forever be thankful for this godly man. We're thinking about the new year, and we're just a few days away. The new year will be here on, what is it, Wednesday, and so it's not far off now. I want to be realistic in my own life. I don't want to get myself all hepped up and then flop on my face. And you ever feel like that as you face the new year? I want this optimism, no question about it. And I am optimistic, but I also want to have realistic expectations for myself and others. Does that sound right?
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah, you know, the parable of the building of the tower, you sit down and take a stock of what you can do and not do, and you can't do foolish things. That's for sure. We're called to plan and to think. It's a wonderful thing that we are in the image of God, and you might say, as the great creator of all things who created something from nothing, which we cannot do, but we have creative powers by being in the image of God, meaning that we can have the ability, if you will, to rearrange and to order. And as a matter of fact, part of the image of God is us to impose order on chaos around us. And that has to be done over and over. I used to tell my children, we're all subject to entropy. That's that things tend toward chaos and disorder, and that's the reason you have to clean your room up every day. I used to tell them that you have to go back and reorder the situation. Well, we're called to do that, but it has to be done with all of our faculties of reason and common sense. I like the emphasis recently in the political realm on common sense.
Yes.
That's what we have lacked.
Yes.
And I appreciate that very much. But at the same time, the enemy of imposing, if you will, order on disorder and to keep on and to keep hopeful is fear. Fear is a crippling emotion. And I'm reminded of the verse in the pastoral epistles that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And there are lots of things, quote, to fear, so to speak. But God has given us a sense of love in our hearts, which casts out fear.
Mm.
And I think the more we love Christ, the less we fear.
You also hit on something regarding what I would term of holding a grudge, that we need to let go of these things. If we have a grudge against someone, it's only going to gnaw at us and kind of ruin our own lives. No matter what that other person does, we might as well let it go. And if possible, we can actually talk to the person that has offended us. It's hard to do that, but that's really what the scriptures tell us to do. Any comments about holding a grudge?
Well, the bad thing about holding a grudge, not only does it eat at your soul, but it controls you, your actions in the present. And that's a controlling spirit, a grudge. I've seen it in the life. Fortunately, I have not had that temptation very much in my life to hold a grudge or something. I'm fortunate. Mm. But I have seen it grab people's souls, and it stunts them. They can't be creative and productive. It's a difficult thing. You have to let those things go.
Let them go, yep.
Forgetting what is behind, we press towards a mark of our high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I've been helping out a little church, and they've had some resentments in the past, and that's the very verse that I came with them to remember, that we forget what is behind, those things that were destructive, and we press on toward the mark of our high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful verse. And of course, grudges and resentment. Resentment, oh my. The resentfulness that grips our souls is another thing that is controlling. But the most productive people are able, and when I say productive, productive in Christ and the kingdom, are able to take those slights and put them behind. There was a godly woman in Westminster Church when I first came. She gave me a quote. I don't think she knows how much it's influenced my life over the years. But this was the quote she quoted to me. It's as much an offense to take offense as it is to be an offense.
Oh, yes.
And to be easily offended is a terrible weakness.
Yeah.
We got to have a tough skin and a forgiving heart.
Yeah.
And I've tried to, if I make a vow or something, that's what I try to make, to have a tough skin, not to take everything personally, and to have a forgiving heart.
Yes. You know, you reminded me of something, too, and we've only got about 3 minutes left. A piece of scripture comes to mind, and that is 1 Corinthians 13, kind of known as the love chapter. And the second portion of that talks about love suffering long and being kind. It doesn't envy, certainly doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up.
I hope you.
You know, it's not rude. It doesn't behave itself rudely. Doesn't seek its own. It's not selfish that way. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil, and it does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. I love it when a news organization says we're interested in the truth, not even the fair and balanced, quote unquote, but the truth. That's the love of God, and it helps us to bear all things and believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. So that might be a really helpful exercise today when we're done with this little broadcast here of opening up the New Testament and reading 1 Corinthians 13. Well, Pastor Vance, why don't you give us a summary? We're almost out of time already. We've been talking about looking forward to the new year and forming our mind in the direction of Christ as we do that.
Well, I've been thinking about responsibility, and Protestants in particular, and other traditions as well, believe that salvation is the free gift of God. He gives us a gift of salvation, of eternal life in Christ and love for Christ, that we could not earn or work up ourselves. Mm-hmm. It is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, says the Scriptures. But the gift also is an obligation. We give gifts for many reasons, but one of the reasons we have the gift of salvation is for our good and for our blessing.
Mm.
And I hope you, our listeners will remember that you have the gift of eternal salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a gift that carries with it a responsibility to employ that gift or your life wisely and for love of neighbor and love of God. Mm-hmm. And so with the gift comes an obligation as well. And the other thing I was thinking of is traditioning the faith. Psalm 145 is a wonderful psalm, and it says there something very important. One generation shall laud the works to another and shall declare the mighty acts of God to the next generation. We need in the coming year, and I hope if you make a resolution to tradition the faith, make sure your children and your grandchildren know where you stand and what you stand for, and that you are not captivated by a spirit of fear, but you are free and released through the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and that you will determine in your heart to make sure that your children and your grandchildren know who God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tradition to faith, or pass it on, if you will. That's what tradition means.
Amen. Today we've been talking with our dear friend, Pastor John Vance. And Pastor Vance, we trust that the Lord gives you a wonderful new year, and you and your wife, and that he blesses you and keeps you, gives you much strength to serve him. And we want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.